They may have had their Bibles confiscated. They may have just a couple of pages that they squirrel away, hidden, so that they can't be found out. Some people just have what they've managed to memorize in prison, and now they're imprisoned, and that's all they have of God's word. But also for many, their love of God's word is stronger than their fear of death. In the way they share the gospel with others, in the way they try and get hold of God's word. And that's quite a challenge to us, isn't it, when we freely have Bibles available in our own language and how we use them. John's going to help us this evening to make the most of that privilege. So we're looking forward to that a bit later on in the service. Well, let's stand, shall we, for our first song. And it's Lord for the Years. Your love has kept and guided. Let's stand and sing. Evening from Psalm 119. We're not going to read all of it, but we are in Psalm 119. That's on page 514 in the Church Bibles, and we're going to start reading at verse 97. David uses this long psalm of 176 verses to say what he thinks of God's word and his attitude toward it. And it's quite challenging, and certainly the verses are that we're reading. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I'm severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Well, let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we bow to you now and come before you in prayer. We thank you that we have that access open, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we mere mortal, sinful creatures can come before the Holy God who made all things and holds our lives in his hands. Lord, we come as we've just read some words of somebody who was devoted to keeping your word, to reading it, to loving it, to tasting it, to live by it. And it searches us out as to how we value the word of God in our own language, in our own hands. And Lord, we come in confession that too often we have taken for granted this privilege. Too often your word has gained dust on the shelf and we have neglected wisdom and chosen folly. We've chosen the things that allure us away that this world has to offer us, and we have forsaken the way of truth many times. Lord, restore us to a hope and a trust and a confidence in the word of God, that as we need food and drink to live daily for our bodies and our minds, we need your Holy Spirit, we need your holy word to feed us and to give us growth spiritually. We thank you so much for the Bible. We thank you for people in the past who gave their lives to translate it into our English language. We thank you for the way that through that your word spread up and down this country so that people now had the truth rather than just parts of God's word which the church at the time cruelly hid from people. Lord, we thank you for the way that your word has spread across the world. And since those days, 500 years ago, your word has been translated into many languages so that at the far corners of the earth, many in their tribes and their different nations have the word of God. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for its life-changing power that we may just read it as a normal book, but when your Holy Spirit breathes life into your word, it is life-changing. It is life-transforming. And those of us who call ourselves Christians, we are greatly privileged to have had your word like a sword pierce through our arrogance, our unbelief, to bring us down, to humble us, to crush our pride, to bring us to the cross of Jesus that we'd never have known about. To bring us to a God who is full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. We'd never known of you and your love had we not had your word. And so we are greatly thankful for the truth of your word and what we have learned through it and for the impact it has had on us. We perhaps remember the day when the Holy Spirit began to, as we thought this morning about convicting in our hearts of our sin through the truth of your word, showing our need, showing Jesus to be the Savior that we need and bringing us to new life. We thank you that your word is complete, that it should never be tampered by humans, by church tradition, but your word is sufficient, it is complete, it is God-breathed, it is all that we need to know about God and to live a godly life. Lord, we just love your word, but in practice, sometimes that shows differently, and we just pray that you'd help us to treasure your word each day. We pray that you'll give us understanding in what we read. We thank you that we live in an age where it's so easy for us to find good Bible teachers and good books and good literature to help us to understand your word. Give us wisdom in that, but we've no excuses for neglecting your word or saying there's not anything out there to help us. Lord, help us, we pray. And when we acknowledge that the root cause is perhaps much deeper in our hearts, and sometimes the hunger for your word is just not there. And so, Lord, our prayer is that you would search us out in our hearts and that in the deepest, darkest place of our heart, you would place a hunger for your truth, to be eating it daily, to be taking it in, and to have the obedience to do what you call us to do. Lord, warm our hearts to your truth again, if we've lost that. We pray for those people in the world who do love your word more than their lives. We pray that the good work of Bible translation will keep going and have great success. We pray that as your word is, many attempts to extinguish your word, as they have done over centuries, always fail. And we praise you for that. And we pray that, as has often been the case where people have tried to destroy your word, it has only served for the furtherance of your word in different ways and in different parts of the world and in different people's lives. And again, we praise you for your wisdom in that. And Lord, we thank you for it. Pray that your word will spread far and wide throughout this world. We pray that those who are disillusioned by the darkness of false religion will see the truth of your word. You'll guide them to that. We pray for those who are missionaries and those who preach the gospel throughout the world. Oh Lord, we pray you'll give them great success. They'll see many people freed from their darkness and brought into life. Lord, we pray for Crowborough, a self-sufficient town. People living their best life now, trying to. Don't need you, don't need your word. Lord, we ask that in their hearts you will create a hunger, a dissatisfaction that Jo was talking about this morning in her testimony, that this life offers so much and yet it never fulfills our deepest and greatest need. Oh Lord, we pray that once again people will see their great need of you, will hunger for truth. We pray that the church will be ready to share that truth faithfully. Lord, we commit one another to you. Thank you for the privilege of church family. And we felt that this morning as we celebrated with Joe and Dan. Lord, what amazing grace you have shown. And we just think of the contrasts of two different ages, younger and older. Someone privileged with a Christian upbringing and someone who didn't have that. And it shows us, Lord, that your word and your grace is not bound by our background or who we are or what privileges we've had in the past. But all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you that for the day of grace that's been going on for centuries. Lord, what a great God you are. What compassion and mercy you show towards us. We long to see many others brought into your kingdom by your amazing grace. Lives transformed, given over to Jesus, loving and living and serving him. Lord, we pray that you'd help us as we support each other in our Christian lives. Strengthen us and help us, we pray. Comfort those who are sad. Comfort those who are bereaved. Comfort those who are struggling. Lord, help them, guide them, and bless them. Help us who are rejoicing to rejoice always in whatever situation we are in. Lord, help us to do everything as unto you. We pray for Joe and Dan, that you'll bless them in their Christian lives. You'll strengthen them and make them a blessing to others as they see and find out the gifts that you have given them in different acts and ways of serving you in this church and in their lives. Bless them in that and strengthen them, we pray. Bless our young people. Guide them as they grow up. Help those who are studying for exams. Help those who are thinking ahead to the future. Lord, I pray that the years won't just disappear before them and be wasted, but the Lord, at an early stage in their lives, they will follow the Lord with all of their heart, will love him and have that greatest ambition to live for Christ in whatever path they choose in life. So, Lord, we commit this evening to you and bless our time together, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a song now which is called the Reformation Song, and it points back to a time when the church really was corrupt and so much of what they taught. But godly, brave men protested against that false teaching. And one of the things was that the Pope and the church tradition were infallible in some of the things they said, so that God's word could be altered, could be added to. And these godly men, some who paid with their lives, said, no, this is wrong. God's word is complete. It is sufficient for all that we have, for all that we need. It is God's word. Nobody has the right to tamper with that. And they bravely stuck up for the truth. And that was called the Protestant Reformation. There were five other things that they addressed, and they're called the five solas in Latin. But let me remind you of them, because this song brings out all of those, so it'd be worth looking for them as we go through. They were addressing other lies that were being taught at the time, and they said, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. And again, God's word is alone, is the authority that we need from God. So this song was written in 2017, and it was marking the 500 years of the Protestant Reformation, for which we should be truly grateful for. So let's stand and sing this song, and then join me.
Thank you. a boost for personal Bible reading. I feel this is really important. So I'm glad that you're here this evening, or glad that you're watching online or afterwards. I'm praying, have been praying, that this will be a help to you as we look at this theme this week, and then as Mark follows on next week with the place of personal prayer and some help with our personal prayer lives. I realise that situations will vary a lot. Some here are young and some are old. Some have just become interested in Christianity, in the Bible. Some have been that way for decades. Some are leaders. People have different amounts of busyness in their lives. People have different aptitudes in terms of mental study. So I'm aware that that's the case. And I want to be realistic and sensitive as well as encouraging this evening. But I hope it will be a boost to your personal Bible reading. It's made me think, when you talk on these things, I've been nudged this week. So it's made me think, and I hope it will help you. And it's the sort of thing which actually could make a big difference for a long time and have a big impact over the years. So the potential of this evening is very great. It's on Bible reading, or perhaps I should call it Bible intake, because of course there are other ways to take the Bible in other than just having a paper copy open in front of you. So we will bear that in mind as we go through. As we go through, there will be a few times where we pause for reflection. And during that time, you can just think about the question that comes up on your own, or you can chat to the person next to you if that's what you both want. I'm sure lots of us will want to do that, but others of you might just think, well, yeah, I'd just like to think about it for myself. And either way's fine. There is a handout. Voila, here is the handout. It's not available now because I didn't want you to know everything I was going to say, but they will be available at the end, two-sided summary of the main things that we cover this evening. There are also a few resources in the hall on the table, which I will refer to. But I wanted to start off with two introductory things. And the first is a text. And I'm thinking of a verse in Ezra 7 and verse 10. It's a good verse about Ezra. It was key to his usefulness, this man of God in the Old Testament. It's especially good for those who are teachers. I did some of these things to the SGP course back in the autumn, and those are people who are looking to teach others. But it's got a wider relevance to all of us. So this is the text. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. So Ezra had a special role and calling. He was a great leader under God in Old Testament times. But notice he set his heart on God's word. He studied God's word, he did God's word, and he taught God's word. That's a great summary of God's word being very influential in our affections, our focus, and in our lives. So that's the first thing to introduce, a text, Ezra 7, verse 10. And the second thing is a tree. I love the picture in Psalm 1. It's the opening psalm of 150. It sets the scene. It sets the scene for a way of life of somebody who is right with God. And it says this in verses 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or God's word. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So you've got this wonderful picture of a tree which is healthy and strong and fruitful and flourishing And you're told why it is, because it's by the riverside. So it sucks up, it absorbs the water. And the water supply up the tree makes it a healthy tree. And that's what we want in our lives, to be drinking up God's word so that we're healthy and stable and strong and fruitful. Well, I thought it'd be nice to bring in a whole tree to show you. And a whole tree does feel kind of big to bring into the front of the church, doesn't it? But if you have a friend who has a bonsai collection, you have the opportunity to do it. So here we are. We have a whole tree. And it might seem a bit odd to do this, but I'm just thinking, if you forget most of what I say, just think, did that bonkers chap have a tree down at the front? And it might remind you of what we're thinking about. Here is a whole tree. And in Psalm 1, it's a lovely picture. A tree, a fruitful tree. Well, this, for a bonsai tree, is quite fruitful, and it's green and strong. It's got cones on it, which I suppose is similar to fruit. So perhaps as close as you can get for a bonsai tree, it mirrors Psalm 1. And yeah, I would just love for so many of us to be tree-like, absorbing God's word, leading it to make us strong and stable and fruitful. It's a great picture. Let me read it again. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does is prosper. And why is that? Because his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his day he meditates day and night. So I'll put that there. If I shuffle along our esteemed dry flowers for this occasion, and we can have a Psalm 1 tree next to it for the rest of our time together. So I want to think about this person, and we come to our first reflection now. So have a think about this on your own, or chatting couples or threes. Give it perhaps a minute or 2 minutes. And I'm wanting us to be honest and honest with ourselves this evening. So here's the first reflection. What is the place of personal Bible reading in my life? What is the place? Have a think about previous days, previous weeks, recent months. And have a think, what is the place of personal Bible reading in my life? And maybe jot something down or just mentally think through it. Hopefully quite a few of you will feel you can just sort of honestly chat with the person next to you. But we want to be honest. We're recognising we've not all come here and mastered this at all. Hopefully for some of us it will be a bit of a reset. But let's start off with honesty. So let's have a minute reflecting on this. Okay, hopefully enough to get us going. There will be a couple of other opportunities later, and a couple of points as well where I'm hoping that you will feed in bits. So I want this evening to be practical and encouraging in going forward. We might not be terribly satisfied with the way things have been, but it's going to be a forward-looking thing. And there are four questions I'm looking to address this evening on this theme. And there they are. Why, when, what, and how. So going to be very practical about personal Bible reading. Why, when, what, and how. So firstly, why? And it's important, I think, we start here because the rest won't mean much otherwise. There's not much point in spending time on how unless we're stirred to why. So it's a bit like me and plumbing. I'm grateful for good plumbing and I'm grateful for good plumbers. And I've had plumbers that have patiently told me about how it works in our house. And it's a tough job because it just doesn't stay in my mind. I just don't think that way. I'm not naturally interested. So I don't lay awake at night thinking about valves and thermostats and radiators and boilers. I'm glad some who do. I'm glad they do in the life of our church. But it's lost on me. I'm not sort of inclined and interested. And similarly with us, unless we're clear on why we need to be in God's word this evening, it'll be like plumbing instructions. They just won't stay with you. You think it doesn't matter to me. I'm not interested in this. It's not significant for me. So we need to be clear on the why. And we're going to do just two things in this to help with this. First, we're going to dip into Psalm 119. So we had it read. John read through and explained a little bit about it, read through a couple of the sections. And it's a psalm, the longest psalm, you may know that. And it's all about God's word and attitude to God's word. Different terms are used instead of God's word. But virtually every verse is about God's word. It's one of my favourite psalms. One of my favourite psalms. And notice in it how he loves God's word. Because he loves the God whose word it is. So I can't say much on this, but I'm just going to read, remind you of a couple of the verses, three of the verses that John read to us. The one we started with, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And how about verse 103? How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And how about verse 111? Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. Isn't that good? And if we were to get immersed in the attitude of Psalm 119, we'd be encouraged in a love for God's word, we'd be filled with a sense of, I want to hear it. And maybe if you've got no love for God's word, or really if the flame is burning very low, maybe you might even want to take one of these sections each day and just think through it a bit. It might be helpful. So a dip in Psalm 119 to help stir up a love for God's word. And the second thing under this is remembering what the Bible is like. So help me on this one. So think of pictures in the Bible of what it is like. So we had the honey one, didn't we? It's a picture is like honey. It is sweet. It is tasty. It is something we love to enjoy. God's word is like honey. Can you think of other pictures of what God's word is like? Just sort of shout them out. A lamp, thank you.
A sword.
A shield.
A hammer,
yes.
A mirror.
One more. Milk. Right, some there I had got, some I hadn't got. Here's a picture of some of them just to... It's gone. Not where I expected it to be. Have I got the black one next, James? And where have I moved the black? Can you get me to the black one? And then we go back to reflection two. Good, thank you. Phew. So there are some things that the Bible compares itself to. We've had honey. It's sweet. It's tasty. We enjoy it. Gold, so valuable, precious. Sword to help us in the battle with the fight between the enemy and temptation. Third from the right, so a love letter. A love letter that it's God's word of love to us. Difficult to get just a single verse on this, but I'm thinking of John 15 and verses 9 to 11 of the love that Christ has for his people and the way in which he passes on his commandments. God's word of love. We like love letters from people we care about. A torch to show us the way through the difficulties and the darkness. The milk which makes the baby grow. A signpost to Jesus, pointing us to him. I could give you references for these different things. Tools equipping us for service. Let me give you 2 Timothy 3, which talks of being equipped. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I covered them all. Well, the fruit one was a bit like the tree one. It produces fruitfulness, stability. I think we've covered the rest. When you think of what the Bible is like compared to, make us want to have it. Have a think. This isn't a proper reflection time. This is a mini reflection time. But have a think about which of those you find most motivating. Talking to somebody this week in the build-up to this, and they said that really they'd seen it. Sort of like the love letter picture, that it's from somebody they love communicating with them, and it just made them want to listen and hear the words. Maybe that's the one for you, but maybe another one, combination. We have a tremendous privilege, don't we, as John underlined at the start, having God's word available to us. It is all these things. It is so essential for our lives. And I'm hoping that sort of stirred up or revved up our concern. Yeah, I don't want to miss out on this. I need this. It needs to be part of my life. It made me think back when I think about revving up to my granddad. My granddad used to stay with us. I remember I was in my teens, and he used to head back about 9:30 or 10 at night. And he was of the age where people felt it was important to rev up the car before you went off. So he would get into his car 9:30, 10 o'clock, and he would rev it up. And the neighbourhood, the cul-de-sac, would know that he was revving up his car to head home. Well, are we like my granddad in that now we're revved up, we're ready for the sort of clutch to sort of be loosened, to get going. The energy is there. God's word is so valuable. Please show me how best to make this a regular part of my life in the way I take it in. So that's the why. Can I go to the next one safely, James? Can you put me back to where I was? Yeah, okay, thank you. So that's the why. We're thinking now of when, and then we're going to go on to what. And I'd like to have a time of reflection for us on both of them before we move on to them. So have a think here about what has worked well for you in terms of when you've read or listened to God's word. What point in your life, what points, how you've made room for it, and what you have read, how you've approached what to read. So think back to good times. Maybe you, in all honesty, you've come here and it's not a good time, and you're a bit of a low ebb. Think back to what has been good, or what you know others have found good, and just think about that on your own, or chat through that together for a minute before we move on to the when and the what. Okay, I'll let you wind down your conversations. Good, hope that's helpful. So we're moving on now, hopefully, to the when. Good, to the when. When to read the Bible. We're sort of very practical this evening. But I'm not going to give you a time slot. People vary, situations vary. But I've got a couple of principles, biblical principles, that I think will help. Here's the first. To read God's word or take it in as a priority. As a priority. And here I'm thinking of Luke 10, 38 to 42. Maybe you know the story, but listen to it. It's so relevant. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." So as a priority, we can say even for a busy woman, even for a busy woman, Jesus is conveying this is so important. This is the one thing you especially need, Martha. This is the good prize to hang on to. Other things have to be moved or paused or downsized or forgotten. But this can't be. It's a priority. Martha, Mary's done the right thing. Priority. So maybe it's a case of we get up 5 minutes or 15 minutes, or 30 minutes earlier. Maybe it's a case like it was when we were sort of with a young family, husband and wife, covering each other for short shifts so that they could have their Bible reading. Maybe it's instead of, or partly instead of, listening to the radio on the journey to work, if that's the best opportunity. Maybe it's 10 minutes in the loo, staying in the closet so that you get your opportunity if that's the only way. Maybe it's a walk at lunchtime. As I say, situations will vary, but make it a priority. The Lord says it's the most important thing. The other principle is regularly. And here I'm thinking of Joshua 1 verse 8, where the Lord says to Joshua through Moses, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Here we can say, even for a busy man, Joshua was a busy man. He had much bigger responsibilities than any of us. But still, he needed to make the priority of regularly, day and night, engaging with God's word. So I think a daily pattern has so much going for it. It's a good habit. Hollow habits are bad news. Hollow habits are bad news. They just sort of stir up pride and superiority. But wholehearted habits are good news. Wholehearted habits are good news. They're a great help. So how do you work that out for yourself? You've got to be realistic. You've got to think of what your own situation is. I have to say, for me, over the years, I'm not a morning person. But I found, for me, that actually it's just hard to beat morning. So when I became a Christian at school and at uni, and then working life and family life. And then, of course, it's a bit more cushy when you're a pastor, you're paid to do this thing, so that's perhaps a bit different. But all through, I've personally found it's hard to beat morning, because if you have other slots, they just so easily get pushed out. But it may be different for you. It may be that one of the other things that we talked about is good for you. A couple of things to just add to that. Yes, the Lord knows. The Lord knows your circumstances. The Lord knows your family life and how busy it is. The Lord knows that you're unwell where that's the case. The Lord knows that you've got a loved one who needs an awful lot of intensive care from you. The Lord knows that you're depressed and just struggle to put two thoughts together. The Lord knows that you're traveling so many hours a day, or you're heading away on holiday and you're getting up at dawn and arriving at dusk. So the Lord knows. We serve a Heavenly Father who knows our circumstances. Also to add, yes, we are not saved by it. Ticking off the quiet time box, if you like, doesn't earn us salvation. Christian, you are loved by God whether you do it or not. I don't think the dying thief had read his chapter that day, do you? You're no less loved because you haven't read the Bible this week. But you're probably a bit less lively. You're no less forgiven because you haven't glanced at the Bible this month, but you may be being a bit less fruitful. So priority and pattern, priority and regularity. Can you think of ways forward? These reflections are on the handout sheet, so you might want to think about them a bit more afterwards. There's some thoughts about the when. And then the what. What shall I read? How do I approach what I read? Well, the first thing to say, I think, is that the doodle bug approach is not generally the best idea. So the doodle bugs were the bombs that came over in the Second World War, and they would stop, the engine would run out, and they'd drop where they were. And some people have that approach to the Bible, it's sort of zoom, and I just anywhere, drop anywhere. And the Lord may use that sometimes to stumble you onto a wonderful verse, but I don't think it's the best daily pattern to do the doodle bug approach. So what is some good advice on this? Well, for those new to it, the New Testament, Jesus coming, that's the apex of God's revelation. Hebrews starts, long ago and many times and in many ways God spoke to our fathers by his prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Jesus' coming is the apex of God's revelation. So if this is fairly new to you, it's a good place to start in the New Testament. And I often suggest that if you're coming to it the first time, why not start at Luke and read the first four books you come to? Luke, John, different sort of gospel, Acts, the early church, Romans, important Christian truths. And if from today you decided to read one of the chapters every day, starting from Luke, aiming to go through John, Acts and Romans. If I'm right, then you'll finish on July the 17th, which is the day before YP holiday. So you can have read those four before the YP holiday. Or maybe you need a little bit of slack in the system, you know, for when you're poorly or you really do forget or you just can't get down to it on certain days. Well, you could say the end of July and then you've got sort of 14 days spare to shuffle in somewhere. So for those who are new, maybe something like that would be a good way forward for those who are getting down to reading the Bible for the first time. What about for mature Christians? Well, we read did read it actually, that all scripture is breathed out by God. We find similar in Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So it's good to widen. As you get older in your knowledge or in your faith, it's good to widen how much of the Bible you cover and aim to go a bit deeper. And there are resources that would help you to do that. And I think in particular there are schemes and plans to help you with your Bible reading if you're wanting to cover wider area, if you're wanting to cover some Old Testament as well. Has anyone found a scheme or an app that they find particularly useful in terms of just following their Bible reading pattern? You can, if it's plain enough, you can shout it out. Maybe some McShane's is a very demanding one, so you need a fair bit of time and commitment to do that.
Chronological order
is a way of varying it, where some of these apps organise it so that you don't read the Bible just consecutively, they put it in time order. Anyone got any apps that they use? The reading schemes, any apps? Explore app. YouVersion. Olive Tree is another one. So on these, you can pick, you've usually got a whole choice of reading schemes, and you can pick one that you think would suit your circumstances. With that, you can have Bible notes to give you some help. And so Explore is a very useful set of Bible notes. That will take a smaller passage each day, but that might be just right for you. And we've got a good number of these. Free available, Time with God, 28 daily Bible readings. So if you haven't done anything for a while and you think you need to get back into it, maybe this would be good. A few verses each day with some explanation. And if it works well, you can perhaps sign up for Explore. If you're young here, XTB, I'm not quite sure what age group that is, or Discover, or covering the sort of children, older children's age, maybe be a good thing for you to pick up. And there are other books available which help, and out there are some on the right-hand table you can take free, and then also somebody else has provided some on the left-hand table, which is again free to take, which may be helpful in approaching Bible reading. There's study Bibles that people have sometimes to help them with difficult parts. And there are audible Bibles. Maybe some of you listen audibly rather than the written. So you have an app that's playing. Somebody mentioned to me last weekend about the Duvet David Suchet, read through the whole of the Bible. So I got a download, and on my Friday plod this week, it was to Mark's Gospel. And in about an hour, 11, 12 chapters of Mark's Gospel were listened to. That's another way of doing it. So schemes and plans to help you cover some of God's word. A couple of other things under this. What about the difficult parts? Maybe you've thought, I read through the Bible. I haven't done that before and I want to do that. And you go through Genesis and you think, yeah, this is interesting. And there's Joseph, I know about Joseph and all the different things that happen. And Exodus is pretty exciting and the Red Sea has parted. And then you run into the instructions for the tabernacle. You think, oh, and it seems to go on for 15 chapters. And what do you do about that? And yet it's God's word. There's lessons in it, rich lessons. We covered it, didn't we, not so long ago. But it's quite hard in personal reading. How do you approach the more difficult parts? How do you approach the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles? How do you approach the land geography being divided up in Joshua? What about Ezekiel and his view of the temple? Well, I think the main thing is don't get bogged down. Don't get bogged down. Different parts of the Bible feed us in different ways. And some of them, it is the most helpful thing to read more quickly, to skim read and see the general pattern, to pick out the key verses, all done according to the word of the Lord. Or for the tabernacle, the way it starts, that build a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So you get a big picture, and maybe you read through, scan read through several chapters, or you pick up a commentary that helps you to understand. But don't get too bogged down. Don't be put off. I wouldn't recommend that you go a chapter a day through some of those longer passages. I would recommend that you read them quicker, unless you're having some help, or unless you know quite a bit already that's being drawn onto it. The variety helps too. So you might choose to go from Genesis right through to Malachi, Old Testament, because you haven't done before. But that's often quite hard. And then you might think, well, do I really want to read 15 books of prophets on one after the other? How about varying it? You know, how about a Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament? And a scheme which varies it a bit so that it's fresh to you. One other point under what? Special times and slower times. There are special times when people want to study more of God's word in a bit more detail. I remember somebody who retired and decided that now they were retired and had a bit more time on their hands, they would really tackle Romans and try and get to understand it well. I know of somebody who, when they reached sixth form and were a Christian and thought they had a bit more time in their school holidays, that they would really look at Mark as a gospel and write out some key verses and try and understand it. Special times. Slower times. Times when you think, I don't want to read a chapter a day. I want to take a few verses each day and think and pray over them. So you pick a chapter, Romans 8 was special to somebody one year, and they go through it slowly. Or Psalm 119, and you take a section a time. So I hope there's some things that help there in when we read and what we read. And we've got one other reflection as we move on now to the how we read. How do we approach those times then where we're in God's word? What helps us? Try and think about what helps you before, during, and after reading God's word. So, third reflection, what helps in how you approach the Bible times before, just before I read it, during the moments I'm reading it, and intentions after? Just rattle through the three, try and have one or two thoughts about each of those three, and we'll look at that as our last section. All right, if you start to wind down your conversations. So we're on the how. This isn't meant to be a sort of a big, heavy list. It's a range of practical things that might help us in our approach. Before, during, and after. Just a few thoughts on before. Three P's. Thank you. That's my middle one. The other two are not so easy, so I'm not sure I'm expecting you to get the other ones. But I'll go through. Pause. Stop and think, what a privilege I have. God's word in front of me. Oh, isn't that good? Just a quick pause. Pray. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things out of your law. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Pray for the Spirit's influence as we come to the Word. So protect. Protect from distraction, I mean, really there. What would that mean? Possibly phone off. Unless, of course, you're reading an app, which makes it a bit more complicated, then maybe you need to find ways of silence in the chats if that's a real issue, I don't know. Maybe the TV off. Probably the TV off if it's on. Maybe a different room might help. I love the idea of a fly swap pad. You know, when you're sitting down to read God's Word, oh, I haven't done... And your mind goes off to things that you haven't done. And somebody talks about a fly swap pad. This is if you swat the fly on your pad. So you write it down. You know, the fact that you haven't put the bins out. You have a notepad. Bins. Just write it down. Don't go off and do it. But swat the fly with your pad so that you can carry on. And we were just talking about if it is first thing in the morning, maybe I don't know. Wash doesn't start with P, but maybe you need something to make sure that you're nicely awake so that you can make the most of the time, which can be a job first thing in the morning. Anything else particular on that? Jumps out. Right, and that's a P for us, practice in good patterns. During. Well, here I'm thinking of things that help us to concentrate and help us to meditate. Help us to engage with God's word and keep it in there. The word meditation comes up quite a lot in relation to God's word. And it almost means chew it over mentally, think it over. So this will happen during the reading, but if we're meditating, it'll probably happen afterwards through the day as well, which is really what it's about. What helps you to engage? Well, maybe for some, reading it out loud slows them down, helps them. Maybe listening to it on an app is good for you and practical for you. For some, maybe you highlight. I don't know if you want to highlight your Bible, if you like highlighting your Bible. I've just found just a small, simple thing that's been so helpful to me across the years is just looking to write one verse out from each chapter I read. And you get to the end of the chapter, you think, well, I haven't got any. And you think, what? There must have been. You go back. You think, oh, yeah, that was good. And you write it down. As you write it down, you think about it. It goes in. And maybe you find yourself writing more than one. Other ways of engaging our mind in God's word. Some write it on something else. Post it and put it on their phone so they see it at other points during the day. That's not a bad thing. But some people send it to someone else. Engage their minds with God's word. What helps you to concentrate and what helps you to meditate? That's the thing to think through there, enduring. Anything else particularly on that one? After. Different things came to mind. They spell WASP, but that doesn't really fit in. But anyway, it holds them together. WASP. Reaction after. And the first one is worship. When Moses had the great revelation of God in Exodus 34, he fell down and worshipped. And sometimes that is just the main response. It's not actually about actions. It's just, wow. Lord, you're amazing. What you did was great. Oh, I'm humble before you. That should be one of our reactions to what we read. Action will be another. Sometimes, for some things, Ezra studied, set his heart, studied to do. And some of the things we read, think, ah, my life needs to be a bit different. I need to stop something. I need to start something. It's good for it to work through in our lives. The S, well, we sort of touched on already. Maybe share. We cannot but tell of the things we have heard, said the apostles. Good to share. Reinforces what you take in when you share. Maybe you've got a buddy that you can share on WhatsApp, a key verse. Maybe for some of you, it's your spouse. And over breakfast, you can get more into the habit of just, what's good? I found this good. What did you find good? I found that good. And the P, well, it's back to where we were. We were earlier. Pray. So much of Psalm 119 is prayers in response and about God's word. And I think that will probably connect us to where we get to next week when we're concentrating a bit more on prayer. So there's some more nuts and bolts things. Do some of them help? I hope so. I hope it's not just one big long list of practical do's and don'ts. Let's come back to where we started. Ezra's heart for the Lord, studying his word. The tree, which we want to be like so that we're fruitful, useful and stable. And we do that by taking in regularly God's word like a tree, like by a river. And remember the whys. All these things that the Bible is like. And when the Bible is like those things, surely we want to take it in. And surely we want it to be part of our lives. Well, I hope that's been helpful this evening. Please do take a handout when you go out. There will be on a chair by the door. Feel free to take any of the free resources. They're all free out there. But I want us to respond finally with our last song. It's a song that we often sing together before we have God's word preached. Now in reverence and awe, but this time I'm thinking it before we go out and before we go off into life to reflect our united attitude to the privilege of having God's word and wanting it to be changing us and moulding us over the days ahead. So shall we stand to sing our last song? read a few more verses of Psalm 119, which are a prayer. I'll read them to finish. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Amen.